Now, turning to the passage that we have been studying in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, where we read from verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And then verse 32, we read, "And what shall I more say?" the apostle says. "For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel." Now, we have been looking at all these different characters, these different men and women of God who demonstrate something of faith. What is real faith? And here the Lord says faith is not just some general thing that the world thinks about. You know, when people talk about the people of faith, when someone asks, "Do you have faith?" what does that actually mean? Well, the Bible gives us the various angles of this whole teaching of what faith is about. And dear friends, this evening I want us to think about the prayer of faith. Faith includes with it prayer. A godly person would pray. I wonder if you pray with faith, or do you simply say your prayers? Do you just go through certain things, a list of things? Maybe all you do is ask God for things, and maybe you struggle. Maybe you struggle because you don't know if God is hearing you. Maybe you say, "Well, am I speaking to the floor? Am I speaking to the wall? Am I beating in the air? Is God even hearing me?" And all kinds of thoughts might go through your mind. Well, dear friends, in Hebrews 11, verse 32, there is this man called Samuel. We are not told anything about him other than the apostle says, "I've run out of time," as most preachers do at some point. They run out of time and say, "The time would fail me to tell you of these different people." Well, we would wish that he had said something about them. But you see, there's a whole two bookfuls about Samuel and how the Lord used him and worked through him. Well, Samuel is mentioned then. And it tells us then that we have to go back to the Old Testament scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, to find out more that this faith, this living faith, this real faith was working in Samuel. That's the kind of faith you and I would need. Not a fake faith, not a put-on faith, not a Sunday faith, but a real faith that is alive. And this faith that is alive has this prayer included with it. So that is what we have seen in 1 Samuel chapter 7. We could look at all sorts of things from the life of Samuel and for you to see what faith is like. But I thought, well, it is important for us to look at this matter of prayer of faith. In particular, verses 5 and 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 7. We read in verse 5 of 1 Samuel 7, "And Samuel said, 'Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord.'" And then verse 9, we read, "And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord helped him." So the apostle says, there is this man of faith called Samuel, and here we are reading about his prayer. Dear friends, do you pray? It is a privilege for every Christian to pray. You see, by prayer, we are entering into eternity. It is as if a window is opened and we have access with God. In many, many forms of communication, we might be very limited. But prayer brings us right into the throne room of God. And we read in Hebrews that we are to go because of Jesus Christ. We are to go boldly. We are to go, yes, with that godly fear, but also we are to go joyfully, not miserably, not faithlessly. And dear friends, what a privilege, if you are a Christian, what a privileged position you are in. Every Christian has this privilege of prayer. And to pray not only for ourselves, but to pray for others. To be like our Lord Jesus Christ, who prayed for others around him. And that is called intercession. So that's what we want to think about. And one of the conditions for successful prayer is this prayer must be offered in faith. It must be the prayer of faith, the scripture says. The one who prays must be a man or a woman of faith. Because of two clear statements in the Bible, we could study Mark chapter 11 and verses 22 and 24, where our Lord Jesus Christ speaks about that if we had faith as small as a mustard seed, we could move mountains. Or James talks about the prayer of faith heals the sick. What then are the characteristics of the prayer of faith? Do you want to pray? And is your prayer is a prayer of faith? Well, 1 Samuel 7, verses 1 through to 14, we find the answer to this question. What is it like? What is it like to not just pray, but to pray with faith and by faith? Verses 1 and 2 of this chapter tells us that God's people were in a sorry state. That's the context. Spiritually, they were in a very sad state, these Israelites. Religiously, they were in a very sad state. And they had been in trouble. They wanted things to change. They had longed for things to be different. Is that how you feel? You long for things to change in your life? You long for things to be different? You're not satisfied with what has happened? The way you have responded to things? The way things have worked out? And you know, spiritually, maybe you're not in the right place. How should we pray? You see, these Israelites were in great danger. They were in the danger of their enemies, the Philistines. The Philistines had constantly, all the way through the life of the Israelites, they had been a great trouble for them. And yet, in this situation, Samuel prays. And God answers. Now notice a number of things then. First, when we think about the prayer of faith must be accompanied by penitence. Prayer of faith must be accompanied by confession of sin, a real sense of sin, and also an amendment of life. There has to be a change in our lives. We really have to mean it. It's not just saying things. You know, words are very cheap. But actually, truly mean them. And truly being willing to put things right before God. Actually take the Lord seriously, because he takes our prayers seriously. And so this is what we read and learn from verses 3 through to 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 7. If you were to look at these verses, especially verse 3, you come up with these words. There's the mention of all. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel. All of them were to be included. And he says to them this, if ye do return. So if, he says, if you are going to do this, then the Lord will hear you. If ye do return, he says. Return, what does that mean? Come back. Come back. Turn around. Don't go the way you have been going. That's what the Lord is saying to them. Is that how you have been? Maybe you're going in a certain way. You want God to turn you. But that's not the case. The Lord says to us here that we have to return. We have to turn around. Return. And he says, do return unto the Lord, it has to be, with all your heart, with all of your hearts. Then he says, put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth. So you return with all of your hearts. You are to put away, as you are returning, that is how you know you are returning. You're putting away certain things, certain idols, certain things that you have been taking to your heart and you have really been replacing God with them. And he says, you prepare your heart. Prepare your hearts. There has to be a preparation of the heart. And then serve him only, it says. Serve him only. It's saying that you need to have thought about this seriously. Do you really mean this? So he's talking about penitence. There are so many lessons here in just verse 3, but also the following verses. This is the kind of response people should have. This is real prayer. In verse 4, it tells us of the response of obedience to God's people. They did actually do that. Then the children of Israel did put away those things. Then verse 5, you read of Samuel's readiness and willingness to pray for them. And then verse 6, you read of their humility. You read of their confession of sin. And they desperately need God's blessing. That's what they want. And so verse 6 says, and they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. It's not just against other people. It's not just against our families. But we have sinned against the Lord. Do you see, my friends? It's a miracle of grace. If you were to brought to a real contrition, real penitence, real sorrow over your sins, but against God, that you've sinned against the Lord. That's a good thing. That's a good start. Has that happened to you? Oh, in that situation, we do feel miserable. But it is a good start. It is like the bitter medicine that, well, in our day, everything has sugar in it. But in my day, when I was younger, my mother would put me something in my mouth, and it was very, very bitter, but it was supposed to do me good when I had cold or some injection. It is very painful. And probably many of you have had injections. And it's painful. It's not a happy thing. But the result of it is good. And also, only as hindrances are removed can we really pray, can we really seek the Lord by faith. We could look up so many other passages in the scriptures, but this just gives you a sense of their attitude. Is that possibly why we have not really been praying by faith? Has it been because we really don't sense our sinfulness? We don't sense that we are coming before the holy God. Well, that's their situation. But then secondly, the prayer of faith will be challenged by doubts and fears. It will be challenged by doubts and fears. Do you have doubts? Who doesn't really have doubts? Who doesn't really have fears? Especially when we are seeking the Lord, when we are seeking to know what is His will for our lives, our minds are filled with questions. But this prayer of faith will persist. It will persist in spite of every discouragement. So this is what you read in verse 7. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together. You see, the devil doesn't like the children of God gathered together. The devil wouldn't want, and the enemies of God wouldn't want, this kind of gathering for prayer. Oh, that our prayer meetings would be growing more and more and more. This place would be filled. But do you know, in that situation, we would be under attack. We would be discouraged. We would receive all kinds of things spiritually, maybe individuals, maybe as a church. But this is what happened. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, and the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. You know, one of the things that the children of God have is they oftentimes become afraid. They oftentimes become afraid for the wrong things. They should have fear of God in them. And if like that hymn says that, if only we fear God, then there is no one else to fear. But how sad it is. We often fear this and that and the other thing, our circumstances. And then we lose out with God. So you read this in verses 7 and 8 of their fears, of their doubts. Verse 8 says, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. So they're fearful. They could easily give up. Maybe that is your situation. You're giving up. Maybe you're afraid of things and you're giving up. Well, here is a lesson for you. He says, don't stop. You carry on praying. You carry on crying out to God for us. That's the solution, dear friends. Don't give up. Persist. Continue. Oh, discouragements will be there. Whose life is not discouraged? But the Lord, dear friends, will hear you. And the reason people became fearful was that they looked at their enemies, looked at their circumstances. You know, this past couple of weeks or so, I've been quite peaceful. The reason being, I have not looked at the news. People are telling me, oh, don't you know what's happening in your own country? And I've had to go and find out what's happening in Iran and then realizing what's happening. But until then, I was quite at peace. I wasn't looking at the circumstances. But oftentimes it is the case, isn't it, that we are looking at this and looking at that and even the issues of our own heart. We overthink things so much instead of continuing, not ceasing to pray. You have so many examples in the Bible. First, I'm sure your mind goes to Peter. He started sinking when the Lord Jesus Christ called him out and said, come out into the water. You can also walk on water. You look to me. What did he do? Few steps, he looked to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he began to sink. Why? When he took his eyes away and looked at the wind, looked at the storm, and he began to sink. And then he cried out. And then the Lord saved him. Maybe that's how you have become. You're sinking. Have you ever felt like that, sinking? But praise God, Peter did something. In the midst of his sinking, he cried out, Lord, save me. Just three words. And God heard that. Not long prayers, not long introductions. Lord, save me. Simple. And the Lord heard. The Lord answered. If only Peter had kept his eyes on the Lord, you would have had a different account. But in some ways, we thank God that he actually started sinking. We thank God that he started looking at the things around him and started worrying. Why do I say that? Because then we would think that Peter is so different to us. We would put him on a pedestal and we would make him a great pope. But he is not like that. He was a sinner. And the Lord Jesus Christ even called him Satan one time. Get thou behind me, Satan, he said. So you see in Peter yourself, But also, I hope you see yourself in Peter when you also cry out to God, Lord, save me. Have that trust then in the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the disciples oftentimes and said, ye of little faith, why didst thou doubt? He said to them, why do we doubt? But faith is always beset by doubts. Faith is always beset by fears. If you find someone who says, no, I don't have any fears, I don't have any doubts, you should doubt them. Noah must have had doubts when he was building the ark. Abraham must have had doubts as he moved out of Ur of the Chaldees. Moses must have had doubts as he crossed the Red Sea with the children of Israel. Joshua must have had doubts concerning the fall of Jericho. But when these doubts came, they did something about it. Doubts are not evil things. Doubts are normal things. It is when we give in to them and we mull over them, and when doubts become everything, then they become the problem. When doubts came, they went on praying. When doubts came, they went on trusting. When doubts came, they went on looking to the Lord and following him. Even if he slay me, Job said, I will yet trust in him, he said. So they turned from their circumstances, turned from their doubts unto the Lord. In verse 8, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. What are they saying? Oh, our situation has become worse that we have gathered now together. Our situation has become worse now that we have started praying. But they knew that even though God hasn't answered their prayers yet, as one of the Puritans put it rightly, he said, they knew that they were at the right door. And so if God doesn't answer your prayers right now, or in the way that you want them right now, know this for sure. If you are praying to God through the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you're at the right door. You carry on knocking. I'm sure you've had postmen come to your door. You've been busy with something else. And then you've come to the door and you've seen a little slip. You were not at home. But you were at home. But you didn't hear. And you would think, if they only carried on knocking, I would have received the parcel. My friends, you stay at the door. You know it's the right door, the door of heaven. And God will answer you. But then thirdly, the prayer of faith is specific. And it is directed to the Lord. Again, look at verse 8. He says, they say, cry unto the Lord for us, it says. So it's directed to God and it's specific. It's for us that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. So they're being very specific about it. This is what we want you to be praying for. Pray to God, pray to Jehovah, pray for us, pray that he would save us, but pray that he would save us from the hands of the Philistines. You see? More and more specific. I hope you learned that for our time of prayer and in your personal prayers too. So this isn't some sort of a general kind of prayer, Lord, bless us. Samuel didn't generalize when he prayed. So he directed his prayers to the Lord because he's always the object of our faith and the one to whom we look and in whom we are trusting. And he asked that for exactly what he needed. He was specific in his request. And the Lord invites us to do that, dear friends. Lord, we have it in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul tells us this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. He says, but my God, he says, my God shall supply all your needs, all of them, all your needs. And this is according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Or the psalmist David, he says in Psalm 62 and verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. What is your need? Is your need salvation? Is your need knowing the Lord? Well, speak to him about it. By faith, trust him. Cry out to him. Is there some specific thing, some issue, some matter? Well, pray to the Lord about those things. And then fourthly, the prayer of faith must be offered on the ground of a blood sacrifice. Now you think that's quite a strange thing. We need to pray on the ground of blood? It's horrible. But that's, you see, it's a picture of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ runs through the Bible. You know, in the Old Testament, you have all these types, you have all these shadows, you have all these pictures, as it were. It's like the children's picture book that they can sit. And when our children were much younger and they couldn't read, we would give them a book to read. It had words in it, but it was more, mainly filled with pictures. And so you would ask them, what are you doing? I'm reading a book. Well, they're not reading a book. They're watching a book. They're viewing the pictures. That's all they are doing. But they are reading the book. They are getting a picture of, we can say, of what it is about. And so in the Old Testament, there are all these types, there are all these shadows, they're all pointing, they're signs, as it were, signposts. It's just pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a picture of him. And so you have in verse 9, and Samuel took a sucking lamb. That's why he took it. It was a picture of Christ. He's the Lamb of God. And it says, he took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. So it's on the basis of that, that the Lord heard him. And dear friends, there is only, and as Christians, and if you're not a Christian, you children, some of you adults, it is on the basis of Jesus Christ's blood and what he did for us, that this holy God is appeased. And you and I get right with him through that shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that me, I'm a guilty sinner, can approach before a holy God. And you might feel very miserable tonight. You might have fallen in some sin, maybe in your mind, maybe through your tongue, maybe the stuff you've listened or watched or done, or many of those things that you didn't do, that you now regret. Maybe you wasted the day. What do you do? How can I come to God? Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins, and because Jesus shed his blood for me, I can approach God humbly. See, this is where these Jewish leaders at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ failed to see it. The Pharisees, they failed to see this. But you have that parable that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of that publican who went on his face. He wouldn't look up even to heaven. He knew his own sinfulness. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, this man went away, justified. Or you have the picture of this in the way Cain came and offered up his offering to God, to worship the Lord. But he did his own thing. He said, I'm not going to do this stuff. I'm not going to shed blood. I'm not going to offer up these things. I will do what I want to do. I want to worship God the way I want to worship God. But Abel, he came presenting the sacrificial lamb before the Lord. He offered up a sacrifice. You see, it is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we have forgiveness of sins. It is through him that we have access to God. We must move on. But then, fifthly, the prayer of faith will always be challenged by the powers of darkness. This faithful attitude, praying to God, will always be challenged. Look at verse 10. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. Do you see? They're doing the right things, and things are getting worse for them. So you do the right things, and you can easily get discouraged, dear friends. And be ready to give up. Don't give up. This is the way it is. Satan doesn't like it, as we've seen before. So it is significant that we read in verse 10 that it was while the people were gathered together and Samuel was offering up the burnt offering that their enemies drew near to attack them. And so this surely reminds us of the fact that when we pray, at once we enter into a great spiritual conflict. And that's why we are ready to give up. That's why people don't want to pray. They don't spend real time in prayer. We learn this from the New Testament. The apostle says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 onwards, I'll just quote you from verse 12, which is very familiar to you, but it goes on to speak about the armor of God. But in verse 12, he says, "For we wrestle not." Prayer is like wrestling. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And so then he goes on to say, "Therefore, put on the whole armor of God." So it's a spiritual battle that you're in. You're not just going like, I remember I used to do this before I was converted. Just going through the motions, just reciting certain prayers, saying certain things, just repeating it again and again and again. And I didn't know who I was praying to. I thought, hopefully God will hear me. But I didn't realize I was actually still in the darkness, in the kingdom of darkness. I needed to come out of it first. How Satan hates prayers and prayer meetings. And people seeking the Lord. So expect that. Expect opposition. Expect that in the middle of your prayers, suddenly evil thoughts come into your mind. Temptations come. Haven't you felt like that? Or maybe I'm the only one. You're praying and things come and you think, where did that come from? Why am I having all these different thoughts that are so wicked and evil? And then the phone rings, and then the children cry, and then something else happens. My friends, make sure sometimes we have to stop and answer the thing or do something. There's some emergencies at times, but make sure you go back and continue. Don't give up because of external things, external challenges. But then sixthly, the prayer of faith is a prayer that is always answered. It is always answered. Samuel was a picture of faith. His life was a picture of faith. And partly because he prayed by faith. And so we learn that from verse 10. He prayed. He offered up the sacrifice. He continued on. And the Lord answered his prayers. In verse 13 we read, "So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more unto the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel." Why was that? It wasn't just one prayer. He was a man of prayer. He was trusting in the Lord all the days of his life. It's a wonderful illustration of what we read in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. The Lord invites us. He says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Every prayer that is offered, dear friends, in the Lord Jesus Christ, by a child of God, by a person who is repentant of their sins, coming through the name of Jesus Christ, and based upon the fact that he died for our sins, any kind of prayer that is given in the name of Jesus Christ for His glory is always abundantly answered. And we could look up so many passages in the Word of God. For example, in John 14 and verse 13, the Lord Jesus said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name." That's why it is that when Christians pray, why is it that we say, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ"? Because we are basing our prayers on Him and His authority, what He has done, everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. We say, this is our guarantor. It's the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. This is the one that I'm trusting in. He says, "I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So it's for the glory of God. "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Or in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, we read, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus, Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So, dear friends, here it is. The prayer of faith is answered by the Lord. But finally, the prayer of faith is a prayer that gives God all the glory. And so we learn that in verses 11 and 12. Why do I say that? Because of that word, Ebenezer. Ebenezer. Samuel took a stone, it says in verse 12, and set it between Mizpeh and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer. What is Ebenezer? You've heard of Ebenezer Scrooge. His name was actually a good one. More people should be calling their children Ebenezers. Maybe another boy someone will have, and you would call them Ebenezer. But it means the stone of help. That's what it means. The stone of help. "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." To this point in our lives, God has helped us all the way through. At times we didn't know it was the Lord helping us. But I look back and see, God has helped. God has answered prayer. Now you may say, "I have prayed and I have faith in the Lord to answer, but I've been praying for such a long time." Well, as that Puritan said, remember and know that you are at the right door. Just wait upon the Lord. And then people ask the Lord Jesus Christ questions. You remember, there are times that the scripture says, "He answered not a word." He answered not a word. Maybe that's your situation. Maybe you think, "God hasn't answered me. Not a word." Well, my friends, think of this. It doesn't say he heard not a word. It says he answered not a word. And there's a big difference between those two things. Christ often hears, and he does not answer. If it is his will, if it is for our good, if it is for his and his Father's glory, he will do what we ask. But often he answers in a different way, and that in itself is an answer. And there are times that we say he hasn't answered, but that in itself is an answer. So my friends, are we going to trust the Lord? Are we going to have prayers of faith? Are we going to get discouraged and give up so quickly when things are happening all around you? Or you're going to have your eyes fixed upon the Lord? Are you going to expect when you gather together to pray, when you're in your closet and you're going to pray and plead with God, are you expecting that the devil will also be busy? And that you will be challenged, you will be filled with fear and doubts, and all of these things will come to you? Well, my friends, this is reality. But another reality is what we have also experienced again and again in our lives has been God has answered prayer. God has met with us. And that's a wonderful thing. So this is a picture We've been thinking about these faiths of these different people. And what is real faith? Well, this is another aspect of faith. Faith prays. And the person who has faith and he prays, he is answered by God. Well, may the Lord answer your prayers, whatever it is. Praying that for salvation, maybe some of you, young people, well, continue praying. Don't give up. Don't let all kinds of discouragements come. Maybe you have fallen in some ways. Don't give up. Continue trusting in the Lord. Don't try to fix it yourself. Trust in the Lord to do the thing for you. And may God, as a congregation, answer our prayers this evening.